You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Hello and welcome into the Coast to Coast Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Craycraft, and I'm not with Dante Guarneri. I'm with two friends of the show. We got friend Sam over here and friend Sean. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Are we going to be referred to as friend Sam and friend Sean this
That's
whole time?
What I just named you, so yes.
Hey, glad to be here. Glad to be a part of it.
Where are you at, Dante?
He's probably nearing his bedtime as they're 2 hours ahead. But we're recording outside in beautiful Colorado as the sun dwindles. We're in the middle of the NBA draft actually right now with the 33rd pick still ongoing, so we're mostly going to touch on the first round. Not too many interesting second round names. And I don't think we can get started in this NBA draft talk without talking about the biggest news of the day, and that's the Jimmy Butler trade. Jimmy Butler gets sent to the Minnesota Timberwolves along with the 16th pick in the NBA draft, who turned out to be Justin Patton, the Creighton center. In return, the Bulls start what I think will be end up being a rebuild with Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and the number 7 pick, Lauri Markkanen. So right off the bat, some instant reaction from you guys.
Timberwolves won the draft right there by being able to add Jimmy Butler, a defensive presence. You know, he played with Thibodeau in Chicago. And I think if you're the Timberwolves, you're now looking to be a playoff team. And if you fall short of that, then you fell short of your expectations to start this year.
From the other side, I like the trade for Chicago. I think it's a mutually beneficial trade. Chicago gets rid of Jimmy Butler, which you never want to do. He's a top 15 player in the NBA. But they weren't going anywhere with him. I think he was leaving pretty soon. Dwayne Wade's getting pretty old. Still a great player, but getting pretty old. I'm a huge fan of Lauri Markkanen. 7-footer, really smooth jumper. He comes off screens. And that's the difference between Lauri and other big guys that shoot. There's very few of them that can actually have plays run for them in terms of three-pointers. But Arizona, they're coming off curl screens and setting screens for him. And he was hitting threes on the move and not just standing still. And I think that's the difference between him and what you usually consider a big shooter. You know, you hear the white Channing Frye, but I think he's got a lot more to his game. And Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn are both very young, talented guards. So, you know, you could end up getting three very, very solid players out of this deal. So,
and yeah, I think from the Chicago perspective, that's what you have to ask for, because Tom Penn was on the screen earlier and he was looking at this roster, and you really don't have anything else that when you think about it is like a substantial building block. So to get three of them, it seems like, depending on what you think of Chris Dunn, depending on what Zach LaVine can do after the injury, whether you think Lauri Markkanen is a white Channing Frye or that he can make a significant impact in this league, I think that's a pretty good spot for them to start, especially considering Chicago's long been one of those front offices that is not well regarded. There was a story that some media member saw when they were on a plane. It was right around the trade deadline. They saw the Chicago GM, when most people would be studying, looking for ways to improve their team, he fell asleep during a plane ride, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but I still think it's pretty funny that someone of that high of stature needs a nap during the most important time of the season.
Hey, let's just bring Phil Jackson in, too. We can all be napping.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you guys heard the story about Phil Jackson reportedly falling asleep during a player workout. I love it. The man's got to answer to no one, especially whoever this was, unnamed player.
He's going to get paid regardless, and he's running the city of New York.
Into the ground.
I guess so. And then if we take it from the Minnesota perspective, Sean, you talked about them being a playoff team, and I absolutely agree with that. Excuse me, friend Sean.
Friend Sean. Don't forget.
So I think that they suddenly become very interesting. I know, Sean, you have your questions about Ricky Rubio and his place in this league, and then their power forward spot still needs improvement. And Justin Patton should develop into a somewhat good backup center, but that's not going to be for a few years. So depth is going to be a huge thing, but their top three is certainly manageable.
And where does their shooting come from? When you're talking about their one, two, and three, you're talking about Rubio, Butler, and Wiggins, who, as we talked about earlier, are very ball-dominant players. And how does that ball get distributed? Because this isn't Golden State, where you've got a ton of ball movement. All three of these guys are guys who play better with the ball in their hand.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think a stretch four would have been really nice, a guy like Lauri Markkanen, but obviously that won't work out. They do have plenty of cap space in the summer, and I think that's going to be one of the more exciting storylines to watch as to what they're able to do with that. They've been linked with Andre Iguodala, as he says he wants to get paid. He's not willing to take a pay cut just to stay with the Warriors. So they still have a lot of moves to make, and I think it's going to be an exciting time for a Timberwolves fan, because I just think that they haven't made the playoffs for a really, really long time.
It's been a while. And, I mean, if you're looking at free agency, you could look at Paul Millsap this summer.
That would be a really good starting five.
I mean, he definitely brings a lot of value to the table. You talked about the cap space. You bring him in, and I think you have a very solid starting five. But then, obviously, they do lack depth. And so that'll be a weak point for them.
You kind of run into what the Wizards were during this season, where they're starting five with Wall and Beal, but once they come off the court, they were really bad, and that would ended up hurting them in the playoffs. But I'm curious to see how much this team does win, because young teams typically don't win. So I'm wondering how much Butler changes that, how much Wiggins and Towns' progression changes that. There's varying opinions on how good Andrew Wiggins really is, and I'm curious to get your guys' perspective on like what his ceiling is and what you guys actually expect, because he's scoring 20, 21, 22 points a game, but how good is he really?
I think people get this idea, and I've definitely fallen into that trap of these kids coming to the NBA straight out of college and they're supposed to change the culture of a team immediately, and Wiggins is still very young. I think this is the season where you start looking at it and saying, all right, you're old enough to start winning games. Like, Anthony Davis and the Pelicans obviously is a clear-cut top 20, top 15, top 10 player in the NBA, depending on who you ask, but they're still not winning a ton of games, and soon enough, you got to start winning to get that, to really deserve that. And so I think Wiggins, to deserve any sort of praise that he may be receiving, 20 points a game, he needs to start winning.
Yeah, I mean, and now bringing in this kind of team, you're going to be under the radar so much more. And instead of being like, oh, well, the Timberwolves just aren't a great team, now you kind of are. And Wiggins needs to step up. He needs to not just be a scoring guard or forward, but he needs to play defense. And hopefully bringing in Jimmy Butler does that. And Jimmy Butler's been a part of a winning culture, and he'll have to step up and bring that into the locker room, and hopefully Wiggins will take that and up his game even more.
And they're under the microscope even more, because Butler only has 2 years left on his contract, so if he doesn't feel like they're winning enough, he's fine with just leaving, and that means the Timberwolves have basically left themselves bare except for Wiggins and Towns. So it's an important time for them. I think that their year, especially this year, will be important, because if they're not winning, then Butler's just the next Paul George, where good teams are looking to get him and try and challenge for titles. So I think it's really going to be an important time.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
That's an interesting
point. Talk over each other. That's what a podcast is for.
An interesting point is so many teams now are almost saying, all right, look at how good the Warriors are and even the Cavs. Like, let's just outlast this. Like, let's look at the future 5 years down
it's
the
a
road.
Rare, it's a rare time in that sense, because I don't think we've ever seen it where, like, teams like, wow, they're too good. We're not a player away.
Yeah, we're 3-4. Yeah. Really, I mean, 3-4 all-stars away. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so it's interesting to see Minnesota kind of, I don't necessarily think they're going for broke when you have Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Like, I think it's hard to go for broke in that sense, because those two players are so young and so talented. But to really make a move that's a win now move, that's an interesting choice, considering how good the Warriors are right now, how good Cleveland is while those three are still there. You never know how stuff lasts. There's injuries. You know, that's been one interesting thing in the last few seasons, is there hasn't, especially with the Warriors, there haven't been a lot of injuries. So not saying that's going to happen, not wishing that upon anyone, but you've got to always be ready. But just differing from a lot of direction a lot of teams are going.
I think if we had a Warriors fan here, they'd yell about the 2016 finals and that Curry wasn't hurt. So maybe they had – I know that – most people around this area are not very fond of the Warriors, I'd say, for some odd reason. I like don't completely get why. I get we'll just get
it's
into
the
it.
Whole Iggy thing.
You don't like the Warriors because Iggy?
That's not the only reason.
Because he left the Nuggets?
Dude, you heard what George Karl said, yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, where he said he thought Iggy was like ratting. I'm not saying Iggy did that. No, I just...
Is that the reason? So that's the reason you dislike the Warriors?
I mean, Iggy was not that good in Denver. I mean, Iggy's very good for the Warriors as sixth man, seventh man, but I don't know. Just not a huge fan. They're too good for my opinion.
I've grown up a LeBron fan. I will forever be a LeBron fan. That right there makes it so that I do not like the Warriors.
Yeah, I guess you're not the best example, but there's some other people who went to our high school.
There's a lot of hatred for the Warriors around here. They're the last team to beat the Nuggets in the playoffs, so you get that.
I remember watching that series. That was excellent.
They took the last player who was at that point in his career, maybe an all-star. You know, so really... Really, the last time the Nuggets were relevant in anything other than having Nikola Jokic was when they lost the Warriors. And that was really when you started to see Curry and Thompson and those guys, like, maybe these guys are good. And they put some more pieces. I mean, so.
That's fair. I think, all right, now we're going to transition over to some pick evaluations. I think the first couple of these will be pretty easy. We'll just go through the team and the fit and just see how we think they'll work out. I think Markelle Fultz and 76ers has been talked about a lot. And I think a core, assuming everyone stays healthy and everyone gets near their potential, of Markelle Fultz, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons will be a full outcome of the process and will really result in good things for Philadelphia. So I think that's an excellent fit. And Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz with each other as lead ball handlers has some questions for me, but I'm excited to see it work out, assuming. I want Embiid to be healthy. He's only played 31 games in 3 years.
Yeah, that needs to improve. If they can stay healthy down the line, they'll be fine.
You figure
it
out.
This is a very talented team.
And I think that they could be a candidate come free agency to – they've been linked to J.J. Redick. I think that makes sense because he can fit in there. He's a veteran. Probably when all these guys are hitting their primes, he'll be on his way out. So just kind of a quote-unquote veteran leadership role. Yeah. I don't know how valuable that truly
I think that's incredibly important. You see teams do it a lot. I think the Bucks did it a couple of years ago and picked up Dudley.
Jared Dudley.
Yeah, and you know, a guy who probably wasn't going to contribute a ton on the court, but contributed a lot off the court. And you get these young guys that they don't know how to be professionals. You're talking about playing 30-some games in college to 82. That's a big difference. And you're traveling regionally versus across the country. There's a lot of transition. So I'm a big fan of bringing guys in that are not maybe great on the court, but you're not trying to win this season, next season. You're trying to win 5 years down the road. And one more interesting note is the last team I can think of that had three kind of these top three players was the Thunder when they had Westbrook, Durant, and Harden.
Wow.
And I don't mean to put them in that category because those are three of the top five players in the league in my opinion. But you don't often see a team or players where they have like these three like people who could all be very, very good and they have to grow around each other almost. And so it'll be interesting to see how that works out in comparison, if they can stay together or if 10 years down the road they're all on different teams.
Yeah, I think that is a good comparison. I think it's obviously a lot to put on their shoulders, but it'll be fun to watch, and I think we'll finally see a fun Philly team, a truly fun Philly
Trust
team.
The process, baby!
Sure. Number two, Lonzo Ball.
It's kind of an obvious pick. We all saw it coming. He's an LA kid. He makes sense. He's going to come in and...
Do you guys any LeVar Ball sized problems that you can see happening?
We've never seen a parent with an NBA player become a problem.
It's true.
So I think LeVar will hush up a little bit.
Stay in his lane.
I hope so, because just work on your big baller brand. Don't talk about Lonzo's teammates.
That's where it really gets dicey, is when he starts like apparent, he starts talking bad about someone, and then Lonzo takes that into the locker room, and then you start dividing the team. So that's what he has to try and keep out.
Yeah, I feel bad for Lonzo a lot of times in this situation. And you got to take this in perspective. You know, he's LeVar. I think people get all worked up in this, and LeVar is a dad, and he's there, and he's present, and he does care about Lonzo, and that is something a lot of these players can't say about their fathers.
That's
and
another
so,
point.
So I do give him respect there, but on the other hand, you know, I think you just got to let Lonzo live. I think he's living so vicariously through him, but I'm not trying to get into this whole life discussion. I think Lonzo's a good fit for the Lakers. Him next to Brandon Ingram, who's going to be a very good scorer in this league, and it, you know, I think they're still a couple years away, but if they get Paul George, you know, then you're looking at a team that could actually compete, and maybe you never know what's happening, but maybe that's right around the time the Warriors are kind of coming down from this dynasty, as you might say it.
What? All right, we'll just move on from
that. It's a Game of Thrones reference.
Oh, okay.
July 21st, I think.
That better be right, or else it's an unwarranted plug. Number three, Jason Tatum. We don't have too much to say because I know we'll get into winners and losers later, and I know one of you is very high on this selection. But I think he fits well next to Jaylen Brown, possibly Gordon Hayward when he departs Utah, if. But we'll get into the Celtics at that point. Number four, Josh Jackson, the Suns. I felt like this made a lot of sense. Sam, you actually thought De'Aaron Fox might fit here with an Eric Bledsoe trade on the horizon.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Jackson. I don't think his shot is going to translate as well as some people do. I know he shot 48% from three in the last 17 games of the season, which is a very high clip. But if you look at his form and you look at his free throw percentage, it's not there. And I think that's a really good sign of these shooters is, you know, you get your anomalies. You get a guy like Iggy who's a decent three-point shooter but can't really shoot free throws. But for the most part, top-notch three-point shooters are top-notch free throw shooters. It's kind of the same thing. And so a guy who shot 55% from the free throw line, I don't think he's going to be able to make that transition back to the NBA three-point line. Now, if he does, he's a superb player because he is so athletic. He plays hard. But I just love, with Booker being such a good shooter there and De'Aaron's ability to get to the hole, I thought that was a really good backcourt to build around. You trade Bledsoe, Brandon Knight. I don't know what you do with him. I don't know what he's worth to anybody, but
nothing, especially with $12 million. And all of a sudden a bunch of teams are out of cap space. Last summer, 28 teams had like a fairly significant amount of cap space. And now it's like seven. So it's a whole different summer. And now contracts are actually valuable again. At number five, we have the Kings taking De'Aaron Fox. I think that we'll also delve into that a little bit more. There's some other people on this panel who enjoy this more. Well, I guess we all enjoy the pick, but I like the Kings draft quite a bit, and I'll get into that a little bit more. Number six, Jonathan Isaac to the Magic. I think this is a really good pick. I don't think he's going to be your traditional superstar, but I think he can impact the game in tons of ways. And I think if you're the Magic, having rebuilt basically three times since you lost Dwight, and not really any of it working out, the only guy that still even has a little bit of potential is Aaron Gordon, and who knows, he might just be a dunker. So
There's nothing wrong with winning the dunk contest. Bring glory home. You're going to get last every year. You might as well get the dunk contest.
Well, he hasn't even won it yet.
Second in the dunk contest.
He
should have won.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh, man.
He did have the best dunk.
He should have beat LaVine.
Come on.
The one where he jumped over.
I liked LaVine. I mean, that was the best dunk by far.
He pulled out one of the boards.
I said, pulled out a hoverboard.
Yeah.
He had a hoverboard.
That dunk with the drone would have been really cool if he got on the first try this year, but he let us all down.
Technology guy.
He's the start of yet another rebuild. And this is under new GM John Hammond, who comes from the Bucks. So he obviously loves length, and that's something that Isaac will give them.
Yeah, I think it's the first time we might see a sense of direction from the Magic, honestly.
Well,
like,
they thought they had something with, like, Victor Oladipo and stuff. But
Alfred Payton,
yeah,
baby.
But
slowest guy in the league.
They need some better scouts or something. Gordon, like we just said, is a dunker. Payton, it's just not panning out as well as they probably thought they did. But I think this is the first pick where I feel like they're going in the right direction.
It's fair. Number seven, the Bulls in that Jimmy Butler trade get Lowry. I don't think – do you guys have any additional thoughts on Markkanen that need to be spoken to? No.
He's going to be a good player.
If you're on, if you're on the 7-foot shooter hype train, then you love this pick.
Next up, number 8, the Knickerbockers, where you could have gotten more traditional potential stars in Dennis Smith or Malik Monk. They go with Frank! The Frank from France. That's what we named him on the podcast. I don't even want to try for that last name. And it's I like the name Tila Frank. Kina. That was actually pretty good.
I thought so.
Well done.
I think that this is an interesting pick. The interesting perspective that one of you guys said when you were watching the draft is that they didn't boo because the experience of Kristaps. They booed when they picked the foreigner last time in Kristaps Porzingis. This time, for some reason, they have faith in Phil Jackson and the rest of his gang to make a good pick. But Frank is very raw, and he has ESPN stats had him as the highest bust potential as well as the highest all-star potential of the guys.
That's got to be wrong. There's no way Markel's below 14%.
Yeah, I agree, but it's not our stat. We're probably not smart enough to come up with a stat like that, right?
Maybe we're not dumb enough to come up with a stat like that.
That's true.
Also, just real quick, I want to throw in just a theory.
Okay, I love conspiracy.
Frank didn't work out for any NBA teams. Maybe Phil fell asleep during all the workouts. His only choice was Frank. No player wanted to play. That's
a dumb theory. I like most of them, but not that one. Do you like this pick, or how do you think it fares for...
I mean, I feel like we don't really know a ton about him, and that's what you get when you draft these guys that don't play in college in America, and so time will tell. But, hey, maybe Phil Jackson's just really good at the draft, and once he finally gets those players, that's when he becomes the worst executive in the league. But, I mean, time will tell. We'll see.
Right, and I think it'll be interesting. I think he's it's a bit of a delay. So I don't think we'll see immediate returns on this. I see him a lot like Dante Exum, actually, so I think that's a pretty fair comparison. Number 9, Sam, you're a little partial to this team. The Dallas Mavericks, Dennis Smith going at number 9, and I think that's going to be...
it's going to be interesting.
Yes, because Rick Carlisle is always very picky on his point guards. Yeah,
he's very picky and very tough, and... It's just an interesting situation. My dad's a huge Mavs fan, so I grew up watching the Mavs and the Nuggets, and the Nuggets were not great, especially when Carmelo left. So, been blessed enough to watch Dirk play, but it's a big Mavs fan. When you look at their point guards, they've had guys come in like Rajon Rondo, who just have not panned out because Carlisle and them don't get along, and then you've got guys like Devin Harris, JJ Barea, that seemingly can't do anything anywhere else, and yet you put him on the Mavs, and J.J. Barea is torching people in the NBA Finals. So, you know, it's kind of hit or miss with Carlisle on his point guards. We'll see how that works out. I think they wanted Frank. I know they hired his coach to coach their summer league team. But, you know, sometimes guys don't fall.
Them's so. The breaks.
And you know, it's one pick lower. Dennis Smith could end up being a much better player. So you just take what you got and hope for the best.
I think Dennis Smith has a higher ceiling, actually. Because his 40-inch vertical, I know he's only 6 foot, but he's got a lot of explosion. He does have injury issues, which is never fun to deal with. But I think he will fit well there alongside... They have Nerlens Noel, which I don't think many people remember just because Dallas kind of fell out of everyone's thought processes as they weren't in the playoffs.
One of the few good moves Cuban has made.
It was
a
really good move, too.
It was a good move, and Harrison Barnes is a solid player. You're not going far if Harrison Barnes is your best player, but you know, I think the Mavs are a contender for the playoffs again.
And the good thing about Dennis Smith compared to Frank is that I think he'll be able to contribute more immediately. Yeah. Not that he'll start because you have guys like Barea. I mean, I don't know if Barea and Harris are free agents or not.
I don't think they're generally not starters. I think Carlisle likes to
They had Darren Williams.
They had Darren Williams. Who? What happened to Darren Williams? That could be a whole podcast in itself. You know, you go to a team that is just kind of stuck in that mediocre boat, which no one really likes to, but you get to play with Dirk, who's top 15 player of all time. Fight me on that if you don't agree. I go top 10, but...
That's not a warrant... I don't know if that's a warranted discussion at this point.
All right, let's move on.
I think he's close, though. Speaking of top 10, the final pick of the top 10, Zach Collins. The Kings trade back for 15 and 20, and the Portland Trailblazers with their – they used two of their three first-round picks to move up and pick up not Malik Monk, which makes sense for them, but Zach Collins, the center out of Gonzaga, who was remarkably productive in his short amount of minutes at Gonzaga, and he's a very interesting prospect. And I don't know if he matches up with the timeline in Portland very well, but they're just in need of talented guys that don't get paid $18 million a year.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he's another guy that I feel like we need to see more of. And I mean, you could say something about everyone in this draft and how they still need to develop. And I think Zach Collins is one of those guys that probably will take longer, which is why it's interesting he will be in Portland. But I mean, it's kind of funny. You got a top 10 pick who didn't even start.
Yeah, it's very unusual.
I mean, we got some Dion Waiters going on again here. So, I mean, we'll see. But if the Blazers believe that he's the player they wanted, then that's why they make the trade. So
I hope he's better than Myers Leonard.
I would hope.
Well, and you kind of go to – they've got swept by the Warriors two straight seasons. You know, one draft pick is not going to change that.
That's true.
So why not take the guy who maybe you think 5, 6, 7 years down the road is going to be the best player available? Not – because I think Monk might be the best player out of the gate, at least definitely below that top five. He's a scorer. He's going to fit in really quick, and so I think a lot of people saw that. He doesn't fit with them, I don't think, at all. But, you know, he was kind of the pick that everyone was looking at. And can I just all say we're all a little sad we didn't get the De'Aaron Monk reunion in Sacramento and just...
Completely. That's a very good transition. We'll move on to winners and losers. I'll go first since you did bring it up. My winner is the Sacramento Kings. I'll start with the negative, which I did want to see De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk because those guys love each other, and I love watching them play together. But they do get split up after Sacramento decides to trade down. But what I did like is Sacramento, they just don't have that many good players, just in general. So you pick up De'Aaron Fox at number 5. I love that pick. I think there was about a top 6, and then there was a fall-off, so they got their guy, and I think he'll be able to play very effectively next to a guy both you guys really like in Buddy Hield. And then they trade down at 15. They pick up Justin Jackson, who I think... I don't know how good he's actually going to be in the NBA, but he's one of the better wing prospects in that range because it wasn't a very deep wing class. And then at number 20, they take a pretty big wild card in Harry Giles, former number one recruit in the country, plenty of knee issues, but a lot of talent, similar to their Scal Labissiere pick from a year ago. Mm-mm. No? You like Giles, but you don't like Scal.
I think there's a difference between being injured and being bad. And Scal is bad. Sorry if you're listening, Scal. I don't know why you'd be listening. If you're listening, dude, you got to get and work on your game.
All right, well, aside from Scal, they could have just hit a home run with Giles. I mean, obviously in high school he was great. He's had the two ACL injuries, but if he gained confidence and, you know, and just work on his game a little bit, maybe get a little thicker, he could – easily be a guy that we said why wasn't he a top 10 pick.
I think your motto of this draft is get thicker, because most of the guys you see just about every other pick we heard from you, they're a little skinny for their size.
I mean, you talking about Jonathan Isaac, he's 6'10", 6'11", you are weighing 210.
It's a change in league, man. You don't need to have a weight. You just got to be able to move.
Hey, I'm just saying LeBron's running through teams. he's a big guy.
I'll take that transition and Jonathan Isaac going to the Magic, and that's actually my loser. Not Jonathan Isaac, but the Magic.
Wow, why?
I think there's a pretty clear-cut top 5 in this draft, and I don't think it's anything that the Magic did within the draft. It's just to fall to that 6th spot where I think there is a big step down. I think there's a step down after that top 2, but it's not that big, and then you get those 3, and then after that you're looking at... Those top 5 are all guys who I think very potentially are all-stars, game changers. Jonathan Isaac, I think you mentioned earlier, Jonathan Isaac could be a really good piece on a contending team. I don't think he's the kind of guy that you rebuild around. I don't think he has the game to be a piece. You know, he's not special enough offensively. He's a decent spot-up shooter. He can get to the rack, but he doesn't do a whole lot offensively. He's a very good defensive player, and you've got to take the best player available. And I'm not saying they should have done anything different, but I just don't love him going there to rebuilding process. It's a bummer that they fell out of that top six, that top five.
I think that's a very good point. I think that they did kind of get a little bit screwed on just the order of the draft. And I think that he's not a piece you build around, but he's a piece you build next to. Like, I think he's the perfect third guy on a team because he does have very important skills that typical stars don't have with that defense, with that crazy length.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely...
No, I know. You like the pick.
I think he could be the third best player on a championship team 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road, but right now he might be the best prospect.
Yeah, I guess.
So,
Sean, do you want to go winner or loser first?
I'll go loser. So my losing team is the Cavaliers. I know they're in a tough situation. They don't have a GM. I don't know what Chauncey's going to do.
Let's go.
But they didn't get better. They lost out on Jimmy Butler, who obviously is now going to the Timberwolves. And it seems like they're not going to be able to get Paul George. Maybe down the maybe in a few weeks they can, sometime this summer. But they weren't able to get better today or this week. So they are my losing team.
Yeah, I think that they were kind of heartbroken by the news. They thought that Kevin Love would be the main piece to a trade that could net them a guy who's more modern and Jimmy Butler or Paul George, but didn't really work out for them. Their pick was traded for, I don't know, it was something like Kyle Korver. I know Kyle Korver's pick is like 2019, but it was some trade like that. I don't know. I probably should have found that out, but they are in a tough position, and it's just kind of how it goes sometimes. And
yeah, I think the one thing I will say, I'm not saying they're going to get Paul George, but if I'm Cleveland, I'd much rather have Paul George than Jimmy Butler. Not saying Jimmy or Paul's a better player. I think they're pretty dang even. But within the system, Jimmy Butler, as we mentioned earlier, is a guy who likes to have the ball in his hand. And that's not going to happen when you have LeBron and Kyrie, who are two of the top couple isolation players in the whole NBA. Jimmy Butler is very, very good. He's not in that class. Jimmy Butler would not thrive on a team where he's the third best guy to put the ball in the hands of. So Paul George, though, is such a good shooter, defensive player, could be a really good fit. I don't know how they get them. I know Indiana would love to move him, but for Kevin Love, I think Indiana probably wants to just start kind of rebuilding, and Kevin Love's a little bit old to be doing that. So
Cavs have to bring in a third team if they want George.
Yeah. Yeah, because obviously the Pacers don't really value Love, even though, I mean, Love is better than getting nothing, and so there's some people who believe he can get back to his Minnesota level of play, where he isn't just stationed in the corner and not in playing in a different way. Sort of.
Love is an underrated player. He is very good. I don't think it happened quite as bad as it happened to Chris Bosh, but Chris Bosh was a very good player. And it's tough to be great when you're the third best player on a team. But I think for that trade to work, I think Sean's right. You need a third team. Probably a team that feels that they're in contention and they're willing to trade young talent to Indiana, receive Kevin Love, and then Paul George goes to Cleveland
for a one-year rental, probably.
Yeah. You never know. If you win a title, maybe you realize, oh, this is really fun. I don't know if I want to go to Los Angeles, where who knows. I mean, they're on the right track. They're on the right track, but
it's gonna be hard to say no to Magic at this point.
That's very true. I think that's an underrated part of it. I will go to my loser since we're being all downery right now.
You gotta end on a high note, so I know, let's start low.
So mine is Malik Monk. I don't hate his fit in Charlotte. I just think that he is a guy who thought he was probably gonna go in that 6 to 8 range. So I think that he fell into a tough spot, and I think it might end up working as a good thing for him with the quote-unquote chip on the shoulder, which is apparently never big enough for NBA players, so I think that might work out. But I wanted to see this guy go higher. I'm a huge Monk fan, and I think he's gonna do very big things. And that, I think your estimation of him being the best player out of the gate outside of the top five, Sam, is a good one, because he fits that mold. And I think just being able to shoot the way he does, I don't know how efficient he'll be right off the bat, but it'll be fun to watch, no less.
Yeah, they're just going to check up shots. Kemba's not super efficient, but no. Dwight Howard, revival, baby. Get those offensive boards and dunk.
He's going to have 15 offensive rebounds a game from Monk and Kemba just shooting.
Yeah, I actually...
It's not a bad formula.
No, I do disagree with you a little bit there, Austin. I think yeah, you're bummed you slide out of the top 10. There's probably some money. I don't know the exact financials, but
yeah, it is a little
if I'm a guy, I don't want to go to New York. I don't want to go to Sacramento. I love Dallas. I don't want to go to Dallas. You know, I'm going to a team who I think is a legit playoff team. You're playing... we got some coyotes around here. That's not a joke. There's actually coyotes living around this house. Some babies. But I think you're going... Wow, this is crazy. I think they fit well together. Kemba's a guy who likes to have his ball in the hand, and so is Monk. But I think Monk can play off the ball. He did at Kentucky with De'Aaron. Kemba's really good in getting the hole. He's going to get his shots, but he's not going to be the best player.
So. I just wanted the heat check game in MSG for Malik Monk where he scores 40 and the crowd is just going insane. I can just feel it. Couldn't you just feel that?
Hey, maybe he'll do that.
Oh,
I bet you the Knicks fans go crazy if he's scoring 40 on them if he's playing for Charlotte.
That's one of my favorite things about the NBA is when a player goes into MSG and goes insane. Steph did it a few years ago before he was...
Yeah, when he hit the three and the net didn't move.
Yeah. Mello's obviously done it dozens of times.
Tens of times.
LeBron's done it, and I can't think of any other. Oh, Jeremy Lin, obviously.
Oh yeah,
Lin's sanity,
man.
All right,
I just want to see a playoff game at MSG. So Phil Jackson, figure it out.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, you're gonna be waiting a long time. All right, one of you guys is winners.
Actually, before we move on to winner. I thought of another loser.
Okay.
And it's Chicago Bulls point guard Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
You're on a team where you're up 2-0 on the number one seed in the East, and then you get hurt. You guys lose the series. He's in a win now mode.
And now he might be out of a job.
And now he's in a team that's being rebuilt. Like, what? Do you demand a trade?
Don't quit on the Mavs, and maybe you're not in this position. I don't have any... hard feelings for Rondo.
I'm not saying we have hard feelings for Rondo. I'm just saying, but in his position,
yeah,
he's probably kind of left in the dust here.
Yeah, he probably is. I mean,
him and Dwayne Wade just gonna make all this money this year, get last in the East.
The thing is, I think they're both still better players than Dunn or LaVine at this point in their careers. But if I'm Chicago, I want to get those guys minutes because Rondo and Wade are not winning you a championship.
But is that what Rondo wants?
I don't know what Rondo wants.
He just wants to be competitive, I'd guess, right?
I don't know.
Rondo wants to be able to run the show on a winning team, on a team that will compete every year.
Could you imagine how good Rondo would be if he could shoot?
He would
say that about a lot of guys. So, and then
yeah, we've said that about every player in this draft. If he can figure out how to shoot, man, he'll be amazing. we could say that about every one of these prospects.
I know that most people don't care, but I'm very excited because all three of the Oregon Ducks just went in the span of 7 picks with Jordan Bell going first and then Tyler Dorsey and then Dylan Brooks. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Big fan of the Jordan Bell pick. He's going to Golden State, I believe.
Yeah, they traded for him. That's excellent.
And I think I mentioned this.
That's like a McAdoo.
Yeah, I mentioned this to you in the draft is Jordan Bell's going to be a heck of a player in the playoffs because he's so versatile on defense.
Yeah.
If you put him on a rebuilding team, and it's kind of the same thing I was talking about with the Magic, is he's not going to do it. He's not going to be special or do much there. But you put him on a team where the Warriors, where he can come in, he can cover pick and rolls, he can play defense, he can do these things that they need just spot minutes for. He's going to be an important piece. I really think Jordan Bell will play next year in playoff and give important minutes.
Wow, that's high praise.
We'll see. I mean, yeah, well, they
second round pick.
They used McCaw this year.
It's true.
Second rounder, you know, Steve Kerr's not afraid to do it if the guys deserve it. Draymond's a second round pick. Golden State's had some good picks.
Yeah, for sure. Winners? Yeah. Winner?
Some
positivity to
some positivity, kind of wrap up this episode. How about them Buffs? Score Buffs!
Oh no.
Derek White going 29th overall to the San Antonio Spurs. If I'm a kid in the draft and I could choose anywhere to go, it's San Antonio. Every single pick they seem to have is a good player. I'm trying to not be biased. I do go to CU, huge fan. But
That's a weird thing to preface it with.
But I'm trying to be more that I got to watch Derek White play, and this isn't as much about me going to CU as I watched him play. This kid is very, very good. He's 22, 23 years old. He went to Division II for 3 years. He transferred to CU, redshirted a year. So fifth-year senior, played 1 year at Division I basketball, and was far and away the best player on a pretty bad CU team. But he was scoring 30 on teams like Arizona. He's 6'5", big point guard. He can shoot the ball. He does a little bit of everything. Gets to the line well. Good free throw shooter. Led the team in blocks. I think he's a really good fit for the Spurs. It'll be interesting to see Manu maybe gone. Does Parker come back? Is he healthy? You know, where are they going? But I think he'll be a good piece there. And win for him. He gets to go to contender.
Yeah, I mean, that's a team that maxes out your potential pretty much. We've seen that with Patty Mills. Even Danny Green had this crazy final series.
That was wild.
If you're a player, I'd have to agree with Sam. You want to be in San Antonio because you know Popovich is going to get the most out of you.
When even you look at 22 and down, you're going Nets, horrible. Raptors, that's fine, but you know I don't think Lowry's back, so they're probably almost rebuilding. Jazz, if Hayward's gone, that's not great. Magic suck. Portland's good. Nets suck. Lakers kind of suck. You know, there's not a lot of good teams picking in this draft.
That's Utah. Well, that's just because most of these teams traded because they were trying to win.
Yeah, now. Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, usually yeah. You get picked 29th, 30th, and you're going to a really good team. Instead, you're Josh Hart, who I'm guessing got traded with the... But Josh Hart's going to the Lakers at 30, where technically that should be Golden State's pick. And so,
right.
You know, Derek White kind of found that one team in that lower third of the draft that's actually a contender.
Yeah, Derek White, one of the... There were only two seniors taken in the first round. They were both the last two picks of the draft, which is pretty interesting. But I think I am slightly CU biased, but not at the same level you guys are because I'm at a farther distance. But he was really good. That team had basically no business being, quote-unquote, as good as they were. But he elevated them big time. Even the year before when he was just training with the team, the coaches were raving like this is the best guy in the gym, and they really wanted him to be on the court right away. So I think he's really good. He doesn't have the athleticism, but he's got the smarts. He's got a really good jump shot. He can handle. He's a combo guard, and basically every talent evaluator who started watching him from the media perspective just ended up falling in love, and that says something, I think, just because you can't have enough smart basketball players on the floor, and he certainly fits that.
He'll come in and contribute immediately. He probably does. I mean, he definitely does not have the ceiling a lot of these other guys have, but I think he's a better player coming in. I think he's one of the top 15 players in the draft. Y'all are going to laugh, but we can talk 5 years down the road. Maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe his talent gets completely maximized by Pop. We'll see. But
rarely ever in this situation you say something and then you're like, oh, Sam was right. It's we only bring it up when, hey, Sam was wrong.
Yeah, I'm an aspiring Skip Bayless.
Okay.
I want to hear Sean's winner, though.
My winner would be Jason Tatum. Obviously, third pick to the Boston Celtics. I like this pick more than Josh Jackson. I'm glad that that's what Danny Ainge decided to do. He's going to be asked to come in and score, and that's what he does best. And he's going to be in a system where he's also going to be asked to play defense, and that's just going to make him a better player. He's going to come in to a team that would just won the East, obviously regular season, but he's going to be great in a few years, I believe, and he's being put into a great system to start. Thank you, Brooklyn Nets. You can thank him if you're Jason Tatum, because you're being brought into a perfect situation, I think, if you're Jason Tatum.
And I think the Tatum over Jackson pick made sense just because I felt Jackson might have been a little bit redundant with, like, Jaylen Brown, so I think that's a good fit. And
Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart, they're all kind of those same similar players of defensive-minded
players.
And I think he's the type of guy who can play next to Jaylen Brown. He can play next to Gordon Hayward, which I already said, so I don't know why I'm saying it again. But I think the Celtics team is extremely interesting, and they're still doing this thing where they're balancing present and future in such an interesting way that I really think we've never seen the NBA, and it's so fun to watch still, because they still have they have 8 first-round draft picks.
Seven. I think it's 7.
Oh, yeah. Well, now we're down to 7.
Seven in the next three years.
3 years. So seven now we're down to 6 in the next 2 years, right? Because this year's
But I mean, you're talking about that Brooklyn pick next year. That's probably a top 3 pick.
Probably.
And then you're talking about...
They'll be more competitive, at least. Probably.
And then probably they either get the Lakers next year. I think the Lakers won't fall in that 2-5 range. So they'll get They could.
It depends. Paul George is a big piece of that.
Okay, but even without Paul George, I think Brandon Ingram improves. Lonzo Ball is going to improve immediately. He's as you said, could be a transcendent player.
Who name five teams worse than them? The Kings.
The Kings.
The Nets.
The Nets. The Magic.
Okay, three.
The Suns.
They'll be close.
I don't know. I mean, Josh Jackson's not a win now guy though, and Booker's good, but
the Bulls. No, the Bulls won't be that bad, but.
You never know.
Yeah.
And injuries happen. These things affect it. But even if it falls out, then you get the Kings in 2019. The Kings are not going to be good anytime soon, especially with that management.
Wow. What about the Jazz? What if they lose Gordon Hayward?
I mean, they won't be that bad.
I'm just talking about the pick because they'll get the 2019 Kings pick. And so they're getting Brooklyn's next year. That's a, you know, unless something magical happens in Brooklyn, that's a top 3-5 pick. If LA falls in, they have basically two top five picks next year, and they're competing in the Eastern Conference. Or that moves to the next year, in which they have another probably top five pick. And so you're talking about a team who's second best team in the East right now behind a dominant Cavs team and is also picking the top five every year. That thank you, Brooklyn. Every Boston fan should be going kissing Brooklyn on
right on the mouth.
Right on a little lip-to-lip action here.
All right. Well, good thing we're wrapping up here. Any other picks that need talking about? I know OG Anunoby is a guy who probably had his name talked about as much as anyone because there were plenty of teams who could have taken him, but I think the Raptors may have gotten yet another steal, same way they got a guy like Norman Powell 2 years ago now. So I think they got very lucky in that sense.
One pick away from sliding down to the Nuggets.
Yeah,
I was.
You're crushed.
I was crushed. Anunoby. I would have had so much time to figure out his name. It would have been great. It would have been like Giannis. Antetokounmpo.
Still not right.
That wasn't great.
I think that is the perfect place to wrap up.
All right. Thanks, friend Austin, for having us on.
You don't have to call me friend. I'm just Austin. But for friend Sam, for friend Sean, I appreciate having you guys on. Maybe we'll do it again. I don't know what the circumstance will be because the NBA season will slow down dramatically in about a month from now. But it was a ton of fun. Follow us on Twitter at Coast to Coast Pod, the number 2, not the word. I assume you guys don't have anything to plug. And don't say anything. You have that dumb smile.
You're looking at me.
And we'll end. Sam, try and say OG's name one final time. We'll end it there.
OG Anunoby.
That wasn't that bad. All right. Thank you guys for listening.